It's Infrastructure Week on the Capitol Press Room, so we're considering what investments Governor Kathy Hochul should make in her first budget in a few months, and reflecting on the capital spending from Governor Andrew Cuomo's time in office. And to do all that, we're joined by Mike Elmendorf, President and CEO of the Associated General Contractors of New York State, who, in another life, spent 11 years in George Pataki's administration. Welcome back to the show, Mike, and great to see you in person and out of what I imagine are the pajamas you've been wearing for the last 12 to 15 months.
Yeah, well, not every day, but okay. Only some days. But no, it's great to be here with you, David, and it's great to be back in the Capitol. I think this is probably the first time I've been back here since all this excitement started a year ago March, and it's probably the longest I've ever gone not being in this building because, as you noted, I basically grew up here,
yes,
more or less. So it's nice to be back.
A child staffer of the Pataki era.
Not far off.
So if you had Kathy Hochul's ear as she begins working on her executive budget proposal for January, what would you be advising her to do as it pertains to infrastructure spending?
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of opportunity here at this moment on that front. And in fact, we've already submitted to Governor Hochul and her team some detailed recommendations on that question and other things impacting the industry and the economy. Had a chance to be with her last Sunday out at the state fairgrounds. We were invited to participate in the dedication of a memorial to highway workers,
right,
who were killed in the line of duty, as it were. And, you know, we've had a great relationship with her as lieutenant governor. And, you know, we are hopeful that she will continue to build upon some of the, frankly, positive things that her predecessor did in this space, but improve upon it. Specifically, one of the big things that's going to be on the plate this year is the New York State DOT capital plan. We've been living on a short-term capital plan for the last several years. You noted it's Infrastructure Week. We've had a few of those. Most of them have ended in a rather unsatisfactory manner, right, without anything happening. I think that's about to change. And so one of the things that we're going to be looking for will be a multi-year, five-year, at least, DOT capital plan, which will allow the industry, will allow the public entities, local governments, and others to actually plan what they're going to do. Because it certainly looks like the state is about to receive an historic level of increased funding for roads, bridges, and all sorts of infrastructure, environmental infrastructure, social infrastructure, buildings, and things like that, through this infrastructure bill that we think is going to finally get through Congress. And so we'll certainly be looking for the new administration to program that at DOT and at other agencies. You know, some of the things where we think there's opportunity for improvement, there has been a laser-like focus on mega projects, right? Exciting projects, big projects, signature projects. And they're great. Sort of like at home, everybody likes to put in the new kitchen or put in a swimming pool. They get less excited when they got to replace the roof or the driveway or the plumbing. There needs to be sort of a return to a focus on the core of all this stuff. You know, prime example is New York State DOT. Right now, thanks to the prior administration, thanks to Senator Tim Kennedy, Assemblyman Bill Magnarelli, the chairs of the transportation committees, we have the biggest DOT capital program ever. But when you peel back that onion a little bit, when you back out the mega projects, the core program, the nuts and bolts of what DOT does, the roads and bridges that New Yorkers travel on every day, it's the smallest it's been in quite some time. So we need to get back to basics. Maybe it's not always as exciting, but invest in the core of these systems, not just, you know, flashy, shiny projects that people get all worked up about.
Is there an actual dollar amount that you envision for this five-year DOT plan?
Well, that is a very good question, because as you know, there has certainly been a lack of transparency around some of these questions. I didn't come here to make news today, but I will go out on a limb and declare that the prior administration was, in fact, not the most transparent administration in history, right? And so we have not had a detailed needs assessment from New York State DOT in quite some time. It was newsworthy, and I know you talked about it back last year during the budget cycle when DOT actually released a pavement condition report. This should not be an exciting event, but it happened so infrequently, not because they don't want to, they'd love to, that it was newsworthy. And what it showed was the biggest decline in pavement conditions since there have been such reports. So despite the fact that Governor Cuomo was spending more money on infrastructure, kind of goes to the point where we're really spending it in every case on the right stuff and the right types of projects. And if you don't have transparency and detailed conditioned reports from DOT and other agencies charged with maintaining public infrastructure, you can't really answer that question, right? So it's kind of hard to say what is the right number until you know what the needs are. So there's a bill that's passed both houses, will be heading to Governor Hochul's desk, that will put more teeth in that reporting and will require detailed conditions reports from DOT by statute. they've been required by the MOU that the executive and the legislature have entered into for the capital program for a number of years. But that reporting requirement, like so many, was just wholesale ignored by the prior administration. So we hope more transparency will lead to more information, a better sense of, are we spending enough? Are we spending on the right things? And it will help the legislature and the governor make better choices. And it'll certainly help us advocate better as well, because we'll know more.
You mentioned that Washington, D.C. might be producing some sort of infrastructure bill in the near future, which would distribute, I think the technical term is, a boatload of money to states all over the country. How limited is the state's ability to make significant investments in infrastructure without a major influx of capital from the federal government? Are our hands tied, essentially, to whatever they come up with?
Not yes and no.
Okay.
You know, when you talk about roads and bridges, a lot of that is federally funded. Although, to its credit, the state of New York in recent years, because of an action from Washington, has put more money into those things. And it makes sense because, one, if you don't fix it now, you got to fix it later. It just costs more. But it's also a proven job creator and economic driver. But that said, I think something is going to happen in Washington. We've been very engaged with the congressional delegation. The Senate passed the bipartisan infrastructure bill, or whatever they're calling it now. They were calling it BIF, which always reminded me of Back to the Future.
It did, yes.
And it was kind of like Back
McFly.
To the Future. Exactly. And, you know, that is now proceeding, although with a lot of complications. There's this other larger spending package that some of the more progressive members of Congress are pushing, and so there's a bit of a dance going on there. But I do think it's going to happen. And, you know, New York in many ways stands to benefit more than any other state. Probably not surprising. It helps to have the Senate Majority Leader be your senior senator, right? So I think this is a moment where you will be able to see really historic investments, not just in roads and bridges, but in environmental infrastructure. Again, prior administration made some significant investments there. It wasn't done eagerly at first. I remember the fix your own pipes moment when, you know, the governor barked that at then Mayor Minor in Syracuse. But there have been significant investments made by the state already. I think we're at a moment where with additional federal resources, we can do a lot. But there's challenges, right? I mean, right now, within the confines of that historic DOT capital plan that we've got at the moment, we are, in September? I almost said August. We're in September. And they've let, by our counts, like 20-something percent of their program. It's been slow. Why has it been slow? Well, they've lost a lot of people, right? A lot of people have retired. They don't have the in-house staff that they need to be able to deliver the program. We have real concerns about that, and we're voicing that to the administration. And if there's going to be an influx of new money, additional money, the types of funding that we've never seen, but we've always talked about needing and wanting, they got to be ready to deliver projects. They've got to have projects ready to go and the people ready to administer it. And like a lot of the agencies, they've been slow walked on staffing, filling positions. Part of it's demographic. You have a lot of people that sort of came in at the same time, they go out at the same time. And, you know, another thing that's not a secret, the prior administration was not easy to work for, right? They were hard driving, and sometimes that's what it takes, but it doesn't take that every day, every time. There was a high degree of micromanagement and heavy-handed at times of the agencies. So you had a lot of people that their first opportunity to retire and not do that anymore did it. So you lost a lot of talent, a lot of experience, and that's a challenge right now for us.
In case you're just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're talking about infrastructure in New York, and our guest is Mike Elmendorf, President and CEO of the Associated General Contractors of New York State. As you look at the landscape of capital projects in New York right now, does Governor Cuomo leave office with a lot of unfinished business? Are there any projects that Kathy Hochul will have to continue or will have to make decisions about in the near future about whether she wants to continue under her watch?
Yeah, there's no question. You know, there's a lot of huge projects downstate that I think they're at sort of critical decision points, some of the redevelopment around Penn Station and things like that. You know, here in the Capital Region, you know, we talked about this a lot last year. You've got the new public health lab. It's a $750 million project, which by our accounting, we think would be the largest public construction project in upstate New York since the Empire State Plaza was built. It's a big deal. And it has been completely stalled for reasons no one has really been able to understand or articulate, right? I mean, if you made the decision to spend all that money to build a new state-of-the-art public health lab pre-pandemic, which is what happened, the need for that project is much greater now, clearly, than it was back then. And yet, it's still stalled. The prior governor tried to remove the funding for it from the budget, didn't include it in the executive budget. We worked very closely with the local delegation, Assemblywoman Fahey, McDonald, Senator Hinchey, Senator Breslin, and others to get that restored. That was a big lift. That's a lot of money, even in the state budget. It was restored. And we hope that this governor will refocus on that and get that project moving again.
I was watching an interview that then Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul did with NY1 in 2020, and she was talking about infrastructure because at the time Governor Cuomo was meeting with then President Donald Trump. And some of the things that she talked about needing to complete were the train for LaGuardia, the Penn Station project, Second Avenue subway completion. Do those seem like priorities for you as well?
Yeah, they're all priorities for us. I mean, we represent the whole state, and you know, those are core infrastructure projects. You know, the things that sort of, you know, were frustrating for us at times with the prior administration was, again, I talked about the focus on cool new stuff, right? You know, so for example, there was this mad rush to build welcome centers across the interstate highway system here in New York State, and they're beautiful facilities, right? But they were done in some cases ahead of priority of like actually fixing roads and pavement and bridges.
They were treated
like an emergency, you know. And then I talked about micromanagement. I mean, you had instances where the governor's direction, tiles were taken out because he didn't like the color. The one in Mohawk Valley was basically torn down because that wasn't what they wanted. I don't know. There was this effort, which is sort of comical, except it was real, to put lights and music on bridges. And, you know, these might be great things to do if you got extra money lying around and you're trying to figure out, what else can we spend money on, or how can we really improve what we already have in a state of good repair? When you got lots of stuff that's not in a state of good repair, and we do, maybe that's not where your priority should be.
You mentioned at the start that you had that brief encounter with now Governor Kathy Hochul recently. Did you get any sort of FaceTime with her and get any sense of what she might be interested in doing?
Yeah, no, we had a nice exchange, and you know, she was very pleasant, clearly enjoying being there. I mean, it was sort of a somber event, that particular moment, but it was also her day at the state fair. And you know, I've been around this for a long time. I've done events with, I worked for, as you pointed out, a governor, and I've done events and met with every governor since then. The mood was palpably different, right? People just seemed a little more relaxed, right? They were not as on edge as you know, agency folks and others that were working the event, as they were when I've seen you know, these sorts of things in the past. It felt different and it felt good. And I think, you know, one of the core things that I think this governor should do, and she's already clearly signaling that she's doing it, is hire good people in the executive chamber, in the agencies, and then empower them to do their jobs. Support the governor's there to support them. The governor's there to set the agenda, to lead, to make sure people have what they need, to make sure people aren't going off on their own. But one, two, three people cannot run the entire state of New York. It doesn't work that way, right? And if you try it, it doesn't work well. And people decide that they don't want to participate in that anymore, right? And so you lose good people. So hire good commissioners, hire good staff, empower them, give them the mission, and then let them do it and give them the support that they need to do it. And I think all this stuff will work better. And I think we're seeing that change of tone with this administration. And I think that will provide better outcomes in a lot of cases for the people of the state.
So are you ready to make your return then to state government and fill some of these positions?
Yeah, I'm not. I do need some more years for state retirement, but I have a feeling that my wife would probably have a different view on that. And the folks that I work for seem content to keep me around at this point. So I'm not sure I expect that to happen, but you know, I know some of the folks that are in the administration, and you know, certainly everything else aside, I love the state and I have a great deal of reverence for the institution of the governor's office and the executive chamber. And I'm, as I have offered to every administration that I've worked with outside of government, will do whatever I can to be helpful to them, to the extent that I'm able to do it where I currently sit.
Well, having gone through the process of working in an administration, what kind of timetable or timeline do you think is reasonable to fill the ranks of DOT staff again? Is this something that can be done prior to, you know, a new budget coming out in January, or is this something that's going to take potentially months and months and months?
I think it's both. Mm-hmm. You know, there are certainly some key positions, not only at DOT, but other agencies that haven't been filled on a permanent basis, where you've got people that are acting or otherwise. I think addressing that will help people to be able to really, like feel like they can dig in and go off and make decisions and do their job. I think you're going to need to add headcount, certainly at DOT and at some of these other agencies, particularly in, you know, design and engineering. They've lost a lot of folks. They need to staff up, especially when you're going to have what we all expect is going to be an influx of resources and therefore more projects. You know, there's a thing that folks in our industry talk about, the shelf. Is there a shelf of projects, right? And there's not much of a shelf at this point because they haven't had the in-house capacity to build it. And they've been doing a fair amount of work, right? To be fair, there's been a lot of projects. You know, what you don't want to have happen, everybody talks about, you know, the Obama stimulus and shovel-ready projects. It was a bunch of really not impactful work, right? It was sidewalks and things like that. Yeah. And it was not sort of transformative projects that really improved the state of or modernized infrastructure. That's what we want to avoid this time. And I think, frankly, to their credit, folks in Washington are anticipating that. They're building timelines in that are longer to allow folks to plan to do more meaningful types of projects, but you need the people to do it. And so I think there's things that they can do immediately. And then clearly, I think it's going to be part of the budget in terms of, you know, headcount. There are positions that haven't been filled. That needs to loosen up because the worst thing that could happen would be to get these resources and then not be able to deliver on projects that do what we need them to do, which is rebuild our infrastructure, but beyond that, rebuild the economy.
These jobs are almost entirely behind-the-scenes jobs within the Department of Transportation. The most forward-facing person when it comes to all of this is probably the Director of State Operations, who Governor Kathy Hochul has identified will be Catherine Garcia. What do you think of the former mayoral hopeful and former New York City employee stepping into this job?
I think it was a brilliant appointment. I don't know Catherine Garcia personally, although I am on the board of the New York League of Conservation Voters, and we endorsed her in the primary. Because, frankly, and I wasn't part of that committee, but it was reported back to the board, she impressed the heck out of folks with her just sort of her grasp of the functioning of government. She is a real operational person. That's what she's been in all of her roles in city government, where she earned a reputation for being somebody who just got things done and fixed problems. And that's what you need in the Director of State Operations. So I think that, you know, substantively, it was a brilliant move by Governor Hochul. I'm looking forward to the opportunity to work with her, because what I've seen and heard from her is very impressive. And I think that's exactly the kind of person you need in that role, because that's a big job. State government is a complex machine with lots of stuff going on. And, you know, you need somebody who is sort of the day in, day out person sort of monitoring that machinery. And that's the Director of State Ops.
Well, we've been speaking with Mike Elmendorf. He's the president and CEO of the Associated General Contractors of New York State. Mike, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Always good to be with you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.